όπως την ευχή σας. Ευχαριστώ. So as we said, we have the opportunity today that His Grace is here, which is wonderful. We're going to the Sunday School picnic as well.
It's a talk about a church that God created everything that was good, and He creates a male and female, a human person that's very good. But being created in God's image of likeness, one of those characteristics is that He gave us freedom. And because of freedom, we are free to choose whether we struggle to become God-like or struggle to less than what we were created to be. And if we actually struggle to become what God created us to be, and that's joy, happiness, here on earth, heaven, right down here on earth now, if God, we understand that that there's no joy, and we can all testify to that when we do something wrong. There's something within us that tells us it's wrong. So evil basically is our misdirected choices, and that's how evil comes into the world, which is just the life. You know, it's spelled evil backwards, it's live. So evil is death, as it were. Because of our free choice, our misguided choices, that's how evil is given birth to. The fathers will say to us, no, we mustn't believe in the world that before God created the world, it was always good and evil. That was very early on proclaimed by the fathers to be a heresy. We can't think in dualistic terms. There was good and evil, and there was a big fight. And, the devil won the way, the blood comes down, and God will ultimately win. That's not the way the fathers talk about it. It's basically evil has no real existence. We give existence to it by our own choices. That's
what I want to say for now. All right, and my answer is I totally agree. Yes, this is what our church believes. The only thing that I wanted to say, and it doesn't add anything, it's just a thought, it's that unfortunately, when we have freedom, as Dr. Kariat Lee said, we can choose where to focus on. And the angels that they kept focusing on God, they remained angels. But the angels that they start focusing on themselves, they became demons. And this is something to consider. This is what we spoke about today from the Holy Gospel and from the celebration of the Ascension. We need to set our priorities right. And if our priority is ourselves, we're in danger. We have to realize that. That's why the Gospel says that whoever wins his soul will lose it, because if we want to fulfill whatever our soul wants, our desires and everything, we will lose our soul. So we have to be careful where our focus is. It's like, how can I put it? There are two forces. I don't even know how to say this in English. Φυγόκεντρος.
Centrifugal.
Yes.
Centrifugal.
Yes.
Centrifugal.
That's it. I can't even repeat it. when we try to make ourselves the center, it's not going to work. We have to give ourselves to God and to others, and this is how we become one with God and the others, and then this is our center. It's not ourselves, it's God and the others. This is extremely important, and it's something that we all face on a daily basis. I want this, I want this, I want this. If in a family you say, I want this, you might have 10 kids, you will end up in a nursing home by yourself. But if you were to say in your family, my kids and my wife are the priority, everybody will love you. Everybody will love you. And this goes a long way. This is the practical way of seeing things. Like the devil, because of his selfishness and egocentricity, he's miserable. The demons, they can't even stand themselves. But if you see the angels, who they serve God, they do everything for someone else. They are full of joy and light and love and everything. That's what we become as well, depending on where we focus on. So that's very important. That's very important. We were saying before with Philip how we can learn from children, but I think we can even learn from the nature. For example, I keep saying this because I like the saying. I think St. Isaac the Syrian says that my dog is better than me. He has a lot of love and he will not be judged. That's what St. Isaac the Syrian said about a dog. Yeah. So we can learn from the nature. We can learn even from animals. And the people that they say, for example, are they going to think that I'm stupid and this and that, and they are whinging all the time? I think they have small dog syndrome. So the small dogs, if you are aware, because they want to make their presence clear, they bark a lot. But if you have a big dog, like a German Shepherd, they will only bark when it's necessary. They're not afraid, they're confident. And unfortunately, people don't understand that humility takes a lot of guts. To be humble, you need to be strong. So when sometimes they say something against you and you're silent, it takes a lot of strength, psychological and inner strength, to do this. Because to talk back is the easiest. It's like a reflection, it's like a reflex. They tell you something, you react, you get upset. But what happens if someone tells you something, it's like the devil tells him to tell you something, and you get the virus from him, and you talk back. And then you can see inside you that there is this uneasiness, you lose your peace, this is demonic. But if you were to take deep breaths and say a prayer and forget about the person who's saying something and just do what you have to do, this takes a lot of strength. And of course, to get there, it's not easy, but Rome was not built in one day. So I think we need to make small steps. and tell to ourselves, for example, the first step could be, if I was married and I had a wife, if she says something because she's tired after work, cooking and this and that, what would I do? I would say to myself, before I say anything, how about if I say Jesus' prayer once or twice or three times and reply after? If I was to do this, my instinct of reacting is already halved, is already broken into half. So I won't say something very sharp. I will think about it, try it. I won't hurt here. Or that's with anyone, even at work, even everywhere, with our children, everywhere. So there are techniques of getting there. It's just that I need to have the right will, and where there is a will, there is a way. If my aim is to show to my family that I love them, I will sit down and think and pray about it. And every situation is different, so God will enlighten me what to do for my family, because every family is different. And usually there are small things, they're not big things. There are small things. What's an example? Someone says something to you, like your son tells you something, Dad, you, like something along the lines, Dad, you don't think of me, what are you doing? Instead of reacting, smile and tell him, I love you too. Yeah, that's just one example. You can say this to your wife. You can say this to everyone, like even as a joke, but this joke means a lot because they will understand that you're not the enemy. And this breaks the ice, and this makes you being able to connect with the other person. And at the end of the day, as we said, being tough, like playing tough, looks easy, but actually it's hard. Because as we said, we end up alone and there is no reward. When if we were to think twice and do what the proper thing to do is, humble ourselves a little bit, that might be a little bit painful to start with, but then you get used to it. You get used to it. It's a habit. Being a manga, it's a habit, and being a humble person is a habit. So it's a habit. And once you get this habit, then it gets easier and easier and easier. And at the end of the day, you will be the happy one after. Because the result will be very fulfilling. Otherwise, what are we doing? And it's the same with our passions. We might have passions that they separate us from God, but you yourselves know that after falling into a passion, we don't feel okay. It's not the best feeling. So we should try a little bit at a time and be honest with ourselves. For example, smoking, not that anybody smokes here, but I'm just saying, if it's an unhealthy habit, I'm not telling you to stop smoking straight away, but reduce it. And then find a distraction and then get some patches or whatever and work around it. And if you really want to get rid of something, God will help you. Elder Milianos, when he started, my elder, Elder Milianos of Simonopetra, when he started as a young adult, he was responsible for some youth to talk to them and stuff. And he was facing a big problem. He was very, not aggressive, but he would get upset easily. And he realized that this is a problem. If he was to be a leader one way or another, if he was to help people, he had to get rid of this passion, because that's a passion. Anger is a passion. And some, they get upset easier, and some, they get upset less easier, but it's a passion. So, of course, that's Elder Milianos, but what he did, he prayed one night, he didn't sleep at all, he prayed the whole night, and then in the morning, the passion was gone. I wish it was that easy for all of us, but that's what he did. So then, when you would see him as an abbot, being, telling off someone, because he was doing this from time to time, if he had to tell off someone, one of his monks or nuns or spiritual children, he will raise his voice and tell them off. And the next minute you will see him peaceful. And he was peaceful while telling them off. Why? Because he didn't have the passion. He was just raising his voice to make a point. Look, my child, what you're doing is wrong. Wake up. But there was no passion of anger there. And I'm saying this to the parents. When you tell off your kids for something they've done wrong, do it. You have to do it. But don't do it being upset. Doing teaching them a lesson. I don't know if you can understand the difference. So don't let your passion govern the way you treat your children. Let your brain govern the way you teach your children. Let your experience govern the way you teach your children. Because if you tell them off when you're upset and you tell them off in a nasty way, this destroys the bonding between the parent and the child. And that's, you lose everything. You might as well not tell them off, because if you're going to lose them, what's the benefit out of it? But if you were to make sure that there is no passion inside you, there is no reaction, it's just action, no reaction, but action, then you will govern your words, you would do it strategically, and you will get to the point. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying that if you want your children to stay next to you, close to you, you can't let your anger be the boss. You have to be the boss of your emotions. And yeah, I don't know if this makes any sense. I don't know if you. Yeah.
Questions?
Okay, I will not suggest a patristic book. You can ask Philip for those. But a book that comes in mind, and I think it's useful for everyone to read, because you see a different approach in life, is Nan Gabrilia, The Ascetic of Love. I don't know if you have read this book. Okay, so long story short, there was a young girl in Constantinople, I think. She became a physiotherapist. She ended up in England, and she was practicing her job. And she used to say, through the feet to the heart. So she would treat patients, like treating people's feet, because she was a physiotherapist, but with so much love that they would open up their hearts and they would tell her all their problems. And she wouldn't try to be wise. She would just give them a human perspective of what to do. She ended up going to a mission in India. So dangerous. Anyway, everybody was admiring her because she was within non-Orthodox, and she was like the example that everybody was looking up to. And then she ended up becoming a nun in Leros, and I think her tomb is there. But the things she says and the way she approached everything, it's very unique. And everybody is unique. Like Mother Teresa, she's not Orthodox, but she was unique, the way she was giving herself to everyone. This is sort of an example. That's what Nan Gabrilia did, Hierodesa Gavrilia did. But what we will get out of this book, if we were to read it, is that by giving ourselves to others, well, at the end of the day, our life has a meaning. And the meaning of her life was not herself, as we said, it was everybody else. But it's an interesting book to read, The Ascetic of Love, Nan Gabrielli. That's the English version. And it's also available in Greek. It's not a new book, it's an old book. I hope it's not out of print. But if you ever come across it, it's a thick book, but it's interesting. It's interesting. Control your passions and emotions. It's a tough one. We said a few things, but it's a tough one. Everyone is different. Everyone approaches things in a different way. We need to understand a little bit about ourselves, and it will tell us which approach we should have towards our weaknesses. To understand ourselves, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Yerdas Emilianos used to say that we will see God first, and then we will find the strength to face ourselves. That's how difficult it is to get to know yourself. I don't even know if this makes sense. Does it make sense?
How do you see God?
Huh?
You said that you need to see God first.
Yeah.
It's difficult to see yourself.
So to have the strength to face yourself, you have to see God first. This literally happens spiritually. It's not just an expression. But what this means is that once you see God, spiritually, once you experience God, spiritually, you're different. Your capacity becomes something different, like you're a different man. And once you have this strength through the Holy Spirit, then you have the strength to see yourself. I'll give you an example, which I think is a real story. There was a monk, I think, and he thought he was spiritual. He was asking God, show me who I am, show me who I am. So he had a vision. In this vision, he was in a church, like in Mount Athos, usually when there are people visiting, they take the holy relics, they put them on a long table, and everybody venerates the holy relics. So he had a similar scenario in his vision. There were different holy relics cases with holy relics. And there was one specific which was closer to him, and it was a big one. And the angel who was guiding him into this vision told him, this is yourself. So he thought, I will become a saint and I will be venerated because that's what happens to saints, so I'm spiritually mature and this and that. And the angel told him, go closer. So he went there to venerate himself. All this in a vision. So when the vision happens, you don't have control of what you're doing, but usually you're yourself. So he would have done that. So he went closer to have a look. He opened them cover of the what he thought it was a holy relic, and there was such a disgusting smell coming out of it that he fainted, and the vision was so disgusting that he couldn't handle it. He couldn't his soul couldn't handle what he would see, and this the bad smell stayed with him after a week, for a week, and they found him on the floor. He couldn't, from what the experience, he just fell on the floor. And when he wake up from the vision, he was on the floor. They found him on the floor. And then he realized that what he thought was piousness, it was disgusting in front of God. We can't see ourselves. We need God's strength to be able to see ourselves. Because we think we're something. But in front of God, don't even ask. So we need to come to a better understanding of ourselves. Then we can deal with our weaknesses better. I'm not saying that's the easy way out. But what I'm saying is that when I know myself, I know that because of this and this and this reason, I've got this problem. And then when I ask God's help, and I see that I still have this problem, I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to be a perfectionist. I will basically just wait for His grace, because without it, I can't do it. But, yeah. Is this an answer, or this is more trouble? Huh? Yeah, that's the spirit. Can I add something? First of all, thank you, Father, for what you told us. But another thought came to me, and I would like to share it with you. It's just that Yerda Smilianos also says that after we see ourselves as we truly are, to be able to continue spiritually in our journey, we need to accept ourselves. That's extremely important. If we don't accept ourselves, we will do what Adam and Eve did. They took fig leaves, covered themselves, and they thought that they could hide. So once we accept ourselves, then we need to focus on God. And if we do this, we go ahead. But if we focus on ourselves and our nudity, then we lose God. Now, these things, I don't know how easy they are to understand, but they have practical effects. Once you come in terms with who you are, after you see yourself, and you realize that whatever you are is because of God, and whatever you're not, you cannot be without God, then when you see your brother suffering from a small weakness, you can't judge him. It's impossible, because you know who you are. So the sense of judgment for others disappears. It just goes away by itself. You don't need to force yourself not to judge, because you can't judge. You know that without God, you can turn into dust in 2 seconds. And you know that. It's not a thought. You know that. It's an experience. And you know that in front of God, you're like, I'll say a word that it might sound weird, but this is what it is. You're like a diarrhea in front of God. But God has accepted you. And the worse you are, the happier you are, because the worse you are, God will make out of you something better. I don't even know if this makes any sense. And you're happy because God is glorified through your nothingness or unworthiness or whatever you can call this. I don't know if this makes sense, but at the end of the day, you don't focus on who you are and who you are not, but you focus on God and what God can do through your unworthiness. And this is extremely important because, as we said before, the devil focused on himself, lost everything. Here we are, the worst of the worst. We focus on God, and God is glorified through us, exactly because he uses our non-existence, our whatever we are, and creates something. And what he will create will be something beautiful. I don't know if this makes any sense, but that's how it is in the spiritual world. Hope I didn't confuse you more than before. All right, that's a question that more or less affects everyone, so it's a very important question. It's very difficult in our days to find the right partner or the right path for yourself. The challenges, there are so many. Internet, dating sites, and yeah, it's funny how you see in some movies that they have this dating thing, so you go, you meet someone, it's like tables, I don't know, that's how I've seen it, and you sit on the one table, you talk with someone, 5 minutes, nah, next table, 5 minutes, nah, it doesn't work. At the end of the day, you go around 30 people, oh, what a headache, nothing happens. So, there's nothing wrong with meeting people and get to know them, because if you don't get to know the other person, you don't know if you can connect, right? So you have to get to know them. But the problem is, and I don't know if This will answer your question, but this is what I have in mind, so I can only tell you what I have in mind. The problem is that once you start knowing someone and you want to know them better and you want to see the possibilities of creating a family with them, if you were to include sex in the picture, you destroy your future. And I'm not saying this from a piousness point of view. I'm saying this from an emotional point of view, and I will explain myself. If you don't get to know the person as a person, and you get to know the person as a body, down the track, there will be difficulties in life. For example, your wife will be pregnant for 9 months. What do? If you rely on sex, if your relationship with your wife is just sex, what do? You will look around and you will find other options. And what do if you have experienced every possible scenario in your love life, in your relationship, like sex-wise? You get sick of the other person and you start looking elsewhere. So this destroys the connection between the husband and wife before it's even created. So what we need to explore, and that's why we have the engagement, and every engagement is allowed to be destroyed, because it's like testing the waters. It's like someone goes to a monastery as a novice. Doesn't mean that you gave any promises. You test the waters. That's what the purpose is, and that's why it's so precious. And you can destroy the engagement, and it's fine, because this is what it is there for. It's not the engagement within the sacrament, it's the engagement before. So what's important to explore when you get to know someone is, if the other person is your soulmate, if the other person is not your soulmate without the sex part, your marriage has failed. So basically, when you go through difficulties after in your marriage, you will be very sad because you were looking for something else. And that's why I'm telling to the young boys and the young girls that they come to confess to me, when you meet someone, make sure you get to know their soul. This is what will stay with you when you're 90 years old, if you get there. If you get to know their body, this won't be there. And if anything was to happen, it won't be there. Even when the woman has her period, this won't be there. And then everything becomes a big mess when our mind is in the wrong place. I don't know what you think about this, but I'm telling you guys, if you don't get to know the personality, the character, the emotions of the other person through good times and bad times before you get married, then when you get married and the sex part fades away, you will be miserable. And that's why we have all these divorces down the track, because we didn't get to embrace the other person's personality. It was only a material thing. And there is no foundation in a material thing. There is nothing. So dating is very important, but it only if it's used the proper way. I'm not telling you not to hug someone. I'm not telling you not to be close to someone. But I am telling you that if you let your body take over instead of your heart and instead of your intellect, there is a wrong foundation and there is no future. That's what I'm telling you. So when we talk about people saving themselves for after marriage, I mean, you can see it as a religious thing. You can see it any way you want to. But at the end of the day, this is an ascetic experience within marriage that you will find so useful during marriage. that if you haven't practiced it before, you can't practice it after. And you will end up miserable because you don't have this virtue. That's a virtue. I don't even know if I make sense again. But don't see it as I should do this or I shouldn't do this. This is not the case. You should get to know the person, the personality, the character. How are you going to be together for 80 years of your lives? If the foundation is wrong, you won't be together for 80 years of your lives. You will be there, but your mind will be elsewhere. Your emotions will be elsewhere. And your kids, they will be miserable because they will not be loving the family. And we're very responsible for this. So dating is very important, but it has to be done the proper way and for the right reasons. Dating is everything, but the right way, if it makes any sense. Yeah. I don't even know if that answers your question.
Any questions on that?
Thank you.
So if there's no more questions, we'll wrap up because it's been just over 30 minutes. Thank you very much, Your Grace, for your time.
Mr. Colin.
I appreciate it. Next week we have a talk by Linda Chalkis, who is a working farmer.